Shalom, greetings, welcome to Digging Deeper. I'm Jim Park, and joining us is the Senior Teaching Fellow at Preserving Bible Times, Doug Greenwald. We'd like to introduce you to the third of our Digging Deeper series. This one's called Rediscovering Familiar Passages. The 20 programs included in the series likely will hold some delightful surprises for you as Doug helps us learn how much we don't know about what we thought we knew well, proving there's just no limit to the depths nor the heights that Scripture can take us. Doug, set the stage for us. How do we approach this new series?
Jim, I would like the listener to keep three things in mind as we revisit and rediscover some of these familiar, quote-unquote, passages through the lens of context. First, that context always matters when we engage the Scriptures. If we are oblivious to the passage's context, we often miss part or sometimes most of the intended meaning of the text. Secondly, that biblical context is exciting. It's like being Indiana Jones of the Scriptures. It is exciting to use context as our spade to discover gems and pearls of biblical wisdom lying just below the surface of our Western understanding of a passage. Thirdly, that rediscovering biblical context can be personally as well as corporately transforming. Let's dig a little deeper into our first premise, that context always matters when we engage the Scriptures. Let me start with another one of my favorite quotes. It goes well back over 100 years now, and we seem to have lost the source, but the power of the quote remains, and here it is. A text without a context is a pretext for a proof text. Let me say that again. A text without a context is a pretext for a proof text. That's a fancy way of saying that without the context of a passage, you can often get the Bible to say whatever you want it to say. Most misunderstandings or misapplications of a text can be traced to missing the assumed context of the passage that the biblical writer always assumed we would know and understand. And so understanding the integrated biblical context of a passage is a good insurance policy against mishandling a text. Keeping the historical, cultural, literary, and geographical context in view is a way that will keep us pointed in the right interpretive direction when we engage a passage. You know, when Paul exhorted young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to, quote, present yourself a workman, accurately handling the word of truth, unquote, it must have been because there are a number of ways Paul felt that you can inaccurately handle God's word. So that's the first thing I would like our listeners to remember. Context always matters when we engage a passage of Scripture, and I think we will see that in many ways in the passages we will reflect upon in this series. Secondly, let's revisit the thesis that rediscovering the biblical context of a passage is exciting. You see, we tend to read the Bible through 21st century Western eyes that have been steeped in 300 years of modernity thinking, and then further clouded by some 40 years now of post-modernity thinking. And that is not the world of the Bible. To fully understand the world of the Bible, and to more fully grasp the meaning of its passages, it usually benefits us to look at them, understand them, and then embrace them through the eyes and ears of a Middle Eastern villager. When we do that, we get outside of our often one-dimensional Western paradigm box and encounter the robust, three-dimensional Middle Eastern Jesus of the Gospels, and that is truly exciting. As one pastor recently observed, context rescues us from a predictable, mundane, and often indulgent Jesus that we have created in our 21st century Westernized way of reading the Gospels. Adopting a first century Middle Eastern viewpoint is to hear what he calls the prophetic challenges of Jesus' promises, power, and word, and that really is exciting. Time and time again, when we do our Bible Alive weekends in churches around the country, people come up to us during and after that event and say such things as, I read that passage 1,000 times before and never knew all that was there. Or, this is exciting. I had no idea that there was so much yet to discover in what I thought I knew. That is what biblical context does. Not only is it exciting, but it also re-energizes us to renew our desire to feed more deeply on God's Word. And then thirdly, I would like the listener to remember that rediscovering biblical context is transforming. It gets us back closer to the original Holy Spirit-inspired meaning of a passage. And the closer we get to the intended meaning of the passage, the closer we get to the intended transformation the Holy Spirit always planned for us there. Jim, in wrapping this up, perhaps just a brief word about resources. As we go through these passages, I wouldn't want the listener to conclude that I must be really some smart guy to know all this contextual information. What I may know that the average listener may not know at this moment in time is where to find the resources that provide the contextual information that we will see in these passages. And I'm not trying to keep these resources secret either. Anyone can go to the Preserving Bible Times website, go to the FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions section, and activate the fifth question. There you will find a listing of really good contextual resources organized by area of focus that you too could read to find out what I am about to share with you in these radio segments. So Jim, with that in place, let's get started. Let's grab our contextual shovel and start digging a little deeper into some of these familiar passages.
Today, we start at the very beginning, as together we dig deeper into individual verses of Scripture, along with Doug Greenwald, Senior Teaching Fellow at Preserving Bible Times. Doug, there's contextual significance everywhere you look in Scripture. What about that very first verse, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1?
Well, Jim, that opening verse of the Bible is pregnant with some contextual insights. For starters, the Bible is where God reveals Himself for who He is and how He does things. Thus, in this opening verse, God reveals Himself as the Creator. Secondly, and by implication, God also reveals Himself as the Initiator in this opening verse. You see, if God had not chosen to reveal Himself to us in His Word, we would never know who He is. It also helps to remember that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. As an early Hebrew, he wrote in a Hebrew literary style with a Hebrew worldview. These Hebrews are focused on behavior, deeds, and actions, not great philosophical thoughts and ideas. Thus, to a Hebrew, God is what God does. And that's a great way to read all of the Old Testament. Seldom does an Old Testament passage come out and say, God is our deliverer, but we see Him delivering His people time after time. Seldom does an Old Testament passage come out and declare God is our provider and our sustainer, but we see Him providing and sustaining His people time after time. So Jim, this God is what God does pattern starts in Genesis 1:1 and flows throughout the pages of the Old Testament. If you want to understand God from a Hebrew perspective, look closely at what God does.
Doug, I guess you could say the Old Testament is more of a demonstration of who God is rather than an explanation, huh? To learn more, check in with PreservingBibleTimes.org. And we'll see you next time on Digging Deeper.